her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He
the one thing we know about the big guy, the one thing that we know for sure about the big guy, Mark Shimura, he's a grinder. He grinds. Gets after it. Yesterday, before the show even started, he was out. He was watering the lawn. He's had new turf out there.
You know what else I am?
I'd love to hear.
I don't know if it's a good thing, if it's a good thing or a bad thing, and I would think Joshy probably is too, but not you, Gabe. Huge tit for tat. Huge tit for tat.
It feels like you would bring this up because you have a specific example of something happened recently that has caused you now to be like, oh yeah, hey, I got to get back at this person.
It doesn't have to be a person. Can be anything. Can be an animal. Can be
wait.
A company.
Wait.
So, can be anything.
So you are trying to tell me that you are huge on tit for tat when it comes to animals?
It can be.
What about a baby?
It can be. Well, I told you the story of the animal that's not supposed to be on my lawn or on my property because I am not a dog person. I don't care if you have dogs. That's fine. But not everyone likes dog. So this dog thinks he can walk and crap all over my property. But when I used to cut my grass, right, for some reason, the dog would go and roll around in the clippings. Have you ever heard that before?
Oh, yeah. Like dogs, yeah. Like yeah. Dogs love that. Like my dog will do that if we're out, like this summer, if we've been out walking and like there's a little bit of some grass clippings on the, you know, the side between the side of the sidewalk between the road and the sidewalk, you know? Yeah, he'll roll around in those. Absolutely.
So, you know, I find dog crap in the lawn, which makes my blood boil. So took a little maple syrup, probably two things of it, spread it all around in the clippings. So the next time the dog rolled in the clippings, he had a nice coat of grass.
Okay, yeah, so nothing to do. So you punished the owner.
That's tit for tat.
You punished the owner. You didn't punish the dog. The dog doesn't care.
It's tit for tat. Tit for tat.
Yeah,
like tit for tat.
With a person. I just want you to know that tit for tat can only exist with another human being. All right?
No,
that's the
I
only thing.
Wrong.
Like, you didn't get even with the dog there.
I did.
No, because the dog has no idea what you did. And the only person who was actually punished by what you did was the owner who had to clean up the mess. Which, again, is fine, because that's a conversation we can have about letting your dog poop on somebody else's lawn. Like, you have to be a responsible dog owner. So I get that. But the tit for tat for you there was not with the dog. It was with the owner.
I'm like Joshy. Made me feel better.
I'm very much
right,
not
Josh?
This type of person. I hate that.
Take the dog out of it.
No,
like Amazon. I'll give you. Hold on. Here's an example. Okay.
Okay.
Ordered some lanterns, right?
Mm-hmm.
They came in separate boxes, right?
Okay.
So just so happened I had a bigger box from Amazon. I thought I'd save them a little money. So I put two of the lanterns in one box and sent it back. Okay.
That's just not how that works.
I don't care. It's how I work. They only credit me and said I only sent back one lantern. Fighting with them.
Yes,
I'm like,
would.
No. If you open, that's fine. Tit for tat. I got them back.
How? You got the multi-billion dollar company back.
Yeah.
How?
Yep. Lake. Remember how I didn't return the packages? Hey, so I kept them. Thank you.
Yeah,
we're even.
That's for somebody else.
Yeah, that. Again, you did not. Oh boy,
no.
You realize
you guys don't know.
Did you?
You guys are not skilled
theft?
In the art of tit for tat. You are not skilled enough.
No. I don't think you are either. I think you want to be, but you aren't. You know who you actually punished in that situation? Who you actually made more work for?
Who?
The other people who are innocent bystanders whose packages you received.
Yeah, but I'm sure they had to reissue them and reorder them.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was more work for the people. Like, Amazon's going to do that because, again, they're a multi-billion dollar company. They don't care.
They should care.
I got bad news, brother. They do not.
I've tried about that this morning.
I've tried to return stuff, and they just said, keep it. Don't care.
Yeah. Like, what on earth makes you think that Joshy would also be a tit-for-tat guy?
He just feels like one.
I am a preserve my peace guy. I let stuff go. Now, there's a person in my house who isn't so great at letting stuff go. But I just, whatever, who cares? My life isn't going to be better or worse if I get angry at this, so I'm going to keep it moving. Keep plugging.
So what makes you angry?
I think people who are intent.
Aaron Rodgers?
That's, yes, we could go down that. Yeah. Craig Council?
Yeah.
We could keep going here.
People who make me real life or things that make me real life angry are probably like levels of betrayal or things I can no longer trust you or, you know, like dishonesty or when I catch somebody trying to get something over on me. That will make me mad.
Do you have a fool me once, shame on...
No, fool me once, you're out of here.
even if it's inner circle, you get.
Feel like it's worse in that situation. If it's inner circle and somebody tries to get one over on you like that, like that's almost worse because you're the person I trust not to do that.
Yeah. I'll give grace and maybe not think it was intentional and, you know, evaluate it on a case-by-case basis.
Gabe, you're not tit for tat?
No. I'm very much like Josh. Like, you just preserve the peace.
Really? No one ticks you off on the golf course?
Oh, people do for sure, but I'm not going to do anything to then react.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, rifle a golf ball at them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you do in that situation. Like, I want to beat them, but, like...
What about the idiots that... What about the idiots that pick your ball up in the rough?
Oh, you mean the old guys? Yeah, the old guys who... Which I used to be really nervous about that because I used to play, so TaylorMade has, they call it the Pix ball, so it's got like all these like logos over it. And when it first came out, like people would pick them up, oh, that's a cool golf ball, and then just pocket them. And I'm like walking up, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? That's my golf ball. You know, so you just, you know, oh, and then they pretend like they, oh, sorry, like they didn't see you coming. And again, it's not that big of a deal. You just put it down and then continue upon your day.
I mean, on the football field, there's huge tit for tat. You log stuff. You don't let it go.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in competition with those people
in
that setting.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Guys,
which makes sense, but I'm not like...
I'm not in competition with the person walking their dog down the street.
Yeah.
I would be mad at them for leaving dog crap in my yard, that's for sure. And I might even take the occasion, if I see it happening, to go out there and go, hey, you going to come back and grab that? But I'm not going to then seek them out.
Yeah. If it's like a neighbor who's consistently like just letting their dog crap in your yard and they leave it. Yeah. That's probably warranting some sort of conversation.
I don't know if we have this on the list, but add it to the list. That's dog arrogance. There is dog arrogance out there. Definitely dog arrogance.
I don't know if that's dog irresponsibility.
Yeah.
No, it's arrogance.
And being a bad person.
So dog arrogance was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 on the list. It was the 9th arrogance that you ever came up with.
I think
with.
You accused me of it at one point.
I don't know if you have it, though. I might have missed
Oh, you mean you jumped the gun?
Not
I
Chewy.
Also do that.
Well, speaking, so again, Chewie's a tit-for-tat guy, but he is, again, he's a grinder. And he was a little disappointed because I think that Chewie has a lot of respect for Mike Tomlin.
Is very, I love him as a coach.
Very successful NFL coach, has won a Super Bowl, been around forever, never had that losing record. He's a grinder. But turns out maybe he's not a grinder because he talked about lawn maintenance yesterday during his press availability, Chew. Take a listen.
Mike, are there any lingering concerns about the playing surface at Agrisure? Are you guys not concerned? Is that something you're paying attention to going into this?
Not from my perspective, man. I am not a grass expert. I hadn't cut my grass in a long, long time. I coach football. I'm going to stay in my lane.
Mike is...
I don't even know who cuts my grass. Okay.
That's coach arrogance right there.
Super Bowl winner arrogance?
Arrogance.
I mean, I just I feel like that had to be disappointing for you because, again, you had so much respect for him, and you think that, you know, again, cutting your lawn is just such a rite of passage. And here he doesn't even – not that he just doesn't even cut his lawn, Chew. He has no idea who does it.
Yeah, that's total coach arrogance. Cutting your lawn is therapeutic. I don't see it as a chore. I see it as a work of art to me.
Sure.
You know? You got, I know, well, you don't have a lot of grass, and you got your little...
We actually got rid of that, Chew. I don't even have it anymore. We put a little stone patio back there this late in the summer. Took all that out, dug a little hole, put a little brick patio now in the back.
Let me ask you a question. The people in Horicon think you're big time because you don't embrace where you came from and your roots and all that. You're a city boy now. Because if I lived in Horicon, I'd be like, hey, big time radio national guy.
Because I own a house in the city.
You know what I'm saying? Josh, do you cut your grass?
You betcha.
See, he's a grinder.
I mean, if we would have happened
to
buy a house.
You can take the kid out of McGuanago, but you can't take the McGuanago out of the kid. I can't say that for you, Gabe. I cannot say that for you.
So what you're telling me is I should have prioritized having a lawn when I was purchasing a house? Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah, it keeps you attached to your roots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe install a little marsh in the back somewhere, too.
Yeah. You probably don't even duck hunt anymore. Mm-hmm. He's just too...
I haven't duck hunted since I was like 16.
Yeah. Lost the way.
Because you're a city boy.
Yep.
Yep.
Driving your fancy car.
You kind of are, though. You kind of... I don't know. I can tell you this. Ain't retiring Gabe Neitzel's number at Horicon High.
believe it or not, but I don't think they were retiring it whether or not I had a patch of lawn in my backyard or not. I don't think that was happening regardless.
What's the toughest thing you do around your house?
The toughest thing? I mean, there's no...
I mean, do you paint the house? Do you go on the roof? Well,
people don't paint the house with some regularity.
You paint painting your house on a regular basis?
I just stained my gazebo the other day.
Because if you're painting the house, wonderfully. Staining the gazebo... Yeah, how tough? Yeah, real. You want to talk about roots?
Yeah,
I forgot to put down a drop cloth though. So,
oh jeez,
staining my. Here he is giving me a hard time, Josh, and then has the audacity, just the stones to throw. Yeah, I was staining the gazebo the other day.
Most of us don't have gazebos.
Did you have your pinky out while you were painting?
See,
brushing it and just the pinky's got to be out just very properly.
I think it's finally all come together in one beautiful picture with Chewy. Now, the reason he's so obsessed with the idea of grinding and the reason he probably does a lot of tasks he doesn't need to do anymore is because he realizes that the guy he was and the guy that is now living the life with multiple houses, vacationing, well, I shouldn't say, wintering in Florida, you got to maintain that. So you're grinding.
Yeah,
you're putting yourself to
here.
Challenge.
Yeah. Let me tell you this, and this may surprise
you.
You
don't want to get
hold
softer
on,
than
hold
you've
on.
Already gotten.
I cut my own flipping grass when I played football. I did. I cut my own grass.
That also reeks to me. Well, A, you played, not that you guys weren't making a good amount of money, Chew, because you were.
Yeah.
But it's not anything like the money now.
Yeah,
it's nowhere near. So part of that also reeks to me of you cutting your own lawn is
you wanted to save a buck.
Yeah, I mean you get on your
well,
guy.
That's how I am.
You get on your guy Brett about being tighter than two coats of paint. I don't think you're too far behind him.
More of a one coat.
He's a fraud. I mean, he talks about all these tractors, and you know who he's like. He's like the Blammer. Blammer has every toy imaginable to man.
Mm-hmm.
Skid loaders, tractors, bougie lawnmowers and stuff, and doesn't know how to operate any of them. Or if he does, he's horrible at it. Brett's got a little bit of that.
Chewy the grinder. Ever the What do you do around the house? You paint
How many players, Gabe, how many players today you think cut their own grass? I bet it's in the single digits. I bet it is in the single digits.
Wasn't it? There was a Eagles player I remember who his big purchase after signing, you know, probably a $100 million contract was like a super nice lawnmower so he could mow his own quite extensive lawn.
Chew, I bet it's higher than you think because, again, the league is mostly made up of right. not the superstars, but, you know, the guys that are that are actual grinders trying to last in the league long enough, and they're not making that type of money where they're just going to, you know, be blowing it on whatever.
I'm
guessing that they... How many guys, but also you have to factor in like how many of those guys are living in apartments and don't have lawns.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, they're eliminated. Well, they do that because they're lazy.
I think the number is
not
also.
Not because they don't want to own a house. But if we did a sample size with Jason, go ask 15 guys or a quarter of the players on the team, ask them if they cut their own grass. I bet it'd be two out of 15. I guarantee.
Yeah, and I would bet less than half of them have grass because a lot of these guys now just. Have
condos.
A condo or like a place they bought in a building where there's just no grass or there's somebody who pays who like as part of your HOA fees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would
somebody comes by and does it.
But wherever they go in the off season, I guarantee they're not cutting their grass.
Well, that makes sense though because you're not there.
I was one of the only guys, maybe the only guy that cut his own grass, and Frank would give me you know what all the time, and I would plow my own driveway. I had the attachment to the lawnmower, which was a snow thrower. They don't make them like me anymore. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, go paint.
They really
hey,
don't.
Hey, go clean up after the mess you made in the gazebo, will you?
I know. I also cut one of the chairs. Damn it! I mean, on the box it says on the box, you know, it's one of those wicker things.
Yeah.
composite.
Sure.
Don't use a knife to open the box. Well, how the hell are you supposed to open the box?
I mean, I would guess just kind of rip the tape off.
And who looks at a damn chair just for one little wicker cut?
Oh, so what you're telling me is somebody noticed. You were hoping that somebody, you put it up, you were hoping that it would go unnoticed, and it did not go unnoticed is what you're trying to tell me.
I mean, what the hell?
She's more of a grinder than you are. That is no, levels of grinding that you need to aspire to.
That's not grinding. It's pain in the ass.
Fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in life and propose the Jewelry Center, it's got to be the first stop because it's also going to be the last stop. Whether it's naturally mined, lab-grown diamonds, the Jewelry Center has options for it all. What's great about them is the team that Dean the Dancing Machine has put together. They're always going to be pointing you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond or the lab-grown diamond, they are always going to point you in that right direction. Learn more about the engagement ring selection or any other services, shoptjc.com. Stop in today, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. When you do, say hi to Dean for us. Two, tell him that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's two things she counts in the house. One of the pictures.
Yeah.
What do you think the other one is?
Firearms.
Viagra.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I've had almost ad nauseum the conversation about wide receiver one.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like Tucker Kraft may now be a big time focal point of this offense. The way that he has kind of emerged over the last few weeks, he is now leading the team. Again, against Cincinnati, he only had the two catches, but he still had a touchdown. So he is now, in terms of targets for this Packers team, he is second in targets, first in yards, and second in receptions for the Green Bay Packers, and first in touchdowns. I mean, his numbers, when you compare them, so Romeo Doubs leads the team in receptions and targets, but Tucker Kraft is averaging 14.2 yards a reception, Romeo at 12.8. I know you always talk about, you know, tight ends, and typically they're around that 10 mark. But it's obvious that he has become a bigger part. And there was an interesting article that you could check out. Packers Wire had it about the depth of target. They're trying to get the ball to Tucker Kraft further down the field. A lot of his catches the last couple of years have come between the line of scrimmage and 10 yards. And even though it's just a little bit, they're starting to throw him the ball deeper and deeper down the field because they know the impact that he can make.
And I think that, well, two things. I think that will increase once you get Christian Watson back because
speed that puts on the outside.
More speed on the outside. But I think his targets will decrease when Christian Watson comes back and eventually Reed. But I love, I mean, I would, after, you know, McBride had his breakout, the tight end for Arizona had his breakout year last year and had a nice game on Sunday, but I would put Kraft right with him. The problem is going to be McBride makes $19 million a year.
So, well, that's
the
question.
I mean, they're going to have to make some decisions, some serious decisions here, because Micah Parsons kind of threw a wrench into the whole thing, where before they had him, they were pretty cap healthy.
Now, and they'll still be relatively, they'll still be relatively cap healthy because, again, the way they structured the deal. But would you try to offer something to Tucker during the season?
No, because he's got one more year left on his deal, right?
I mean, you're going to negotiate with him this offseason.
Correct.
So would you try to sneak something in, especially if you think he's about to blow up? Would you try to sneak something in now that would be below the value that it could possibly be when they have to negotiate this summer?
Not unless his agent is stupid. I mean, if you would...
Only one way to find out, right?
I mean,
If they offered you McBride money right now, you might consider it, which is 19.
Oh, I think if they offered him McBride money right now, he would take it.
Yeah. But if I was him, no, I'd just play out the season.
I don't think the Packers are going to offer him McBride money.
No.
Because he's not
they're not.
And he's not going to – I don't think ultimately he's going to make McBride money.
No, and he's not going to get funneled targets the same way, so they're going to have the comparison of what have you done and all of that. He's also the type of guy played at such a small school, such small city. Like, he's going to be pretty thrilled with a decent contract, even at this point. Like, he's gonna know the best what he could do for himself. But we don't have like a veteran here who's going to be, you know, third contract taking all the money they can get. Like, I think it's going to be a reasonable amount. And is there anybody else that you are going to prefer? Like, he's the first one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's number one. Yeah, he's number one.
In terms of
Walker, what do you think they do with Walker?
He's gone.
Gotta let him walk.
Yeah, he's gone. I guess the more important question here, though, Chewy, with Tucker Kraft is, do you think he mows his own lawn?
Oh, I guarantee it.
Being from South Dakota, or he's from, where's he from? Montana? Wherever.
South Dakota.
He went to South Dakota State, yes.
Yeah, he's a grinder. Of course he does. My guess is he probably doesn't have a house yet because he hasn't gotten that. And he was a fourth-round pick?
He was a third-round pick. He's the third-round pick that is breaking the Goody can't pick guys in the third-round mold.
We'll see if he models Chewy or he models Gabe. Or he just abandons his hometown. We will find out after he signs his big deal. We'll know what kind of guy he is. I'm going to say he's kind of more like me, I bet, if I was – a betting man.
Adam Schefter is joining us next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
On Conversations with Adam Schefter, brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group, helps people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They are the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. If you're looking to buy or sell, make the move, get in touch with Tony Wendorf and Associates. Love talking with Adam Schefter each and every Wednesday. Good morning. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Morning, guys. What's going on?
I guess we have to start here because this has been what we've been talking about over the last half hour. Do you mow your own lawn?
Do I mow my own lawn? I do not mow. We have field turf. We put in field turf.
Ooh. A Chewy? How do you feel about that?
Not a grinder. He's not a grinder. He's got Adam. Because this all came from Mike Tomlin. Yeah.
I'm a grinder, but in different ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was about to say.
That's fair.
I have a hard time telling Adam he's not a grinder. Dude's got like two different phones. He's answering while he's on television. He's up all nights, you know, all hours of the night, just getting NFL news out there.
Well, this all stemmed from Mike Tomlin in his press conference saying he doesn't even know he cuts his grass. And I was telling him, when I played, I cut my own grass and I plowed my own driveway. Wow. That's what six-round picks do. They just grind. So I was a little disappointed. And I love Tomlin. I love him. One of the best coaches in the league. But I was a little disappointed by his answer. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
I can see that.
Adam, we didn't have the opportunity to talk to you about this last week, but a couple of weeks ago on Sunday Night Football, the Lions scored what was an apparent touchdown on a nice little kind of trickish play where they motioned out Jared Goff, and ultimately a penalty flag was thrown on the play, correctly thrown on the flag because coming from under center, you have to stop if you're going in motion at some point, and Goff never did. But on a local radio show in Detroit, Dan Campbell said that an official told him that that call did not come from the field, but it came from New York. And it appears that the Sky judge or whoever decided that, hey, there's a penalty on that play. Why is the NFL, it feels just so secretive to me as to when and why they use the Sky judge. Why is that not just more straightforward with everybody so everybody kind of understands what's going on?
You know, it's come up a few times. All I could say is that there always have been. I mean, I've been in the room. There always are a group of officials in the league offices watching all the games. And I guess, you know, this year they're communicating more to officials, which, by the way, they should be. Like, it's more eyes, more voices, more opinions, more what's wrong with that? Like, to me, that's the right thing to be doing. So, I mean, I don't have any issues with that. I don't. That's me.
I have an issue, though. Yeah, that's the thing. It just seems secretive. Like, getting the call right, I understand that, Adam. But, like, being forthright, because there are times where it seems like the Sky, after, because the phrase I feel like they use on the field is after further discussion. That's kind of the tell that maybe something came in from a Sky judge. Okay, so how come there isn't a protocol? Because sometimes coaches have to use a challenge flag. Other times they don't because the Sky judge comes in. I just want to know the protocol of when it isn't being used on the field.
And I don't know how it works, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that's a problem.
I think they're allowed. I'll ask. I'll ask them in the league office. But to me, again, these people are watching the game. They're charting the game, monitoring the game. I want more eyes, more voices, more perspective so that nothing goes wrong. That's what I want.
Adam, in making a Super Bowl run for the Packers, who's more important to the team, Micah Parsons or Jordan Love? And I'll say this. Last year, LaFleur was able to cobble together some offensive game plans with Malik Willis, who won the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Micah Parsons out, there's no cobbling. There's no way they can stop a very good offense in this league. And that's why I know it sounds funny. I think Micah Parsons is more important to the Green Bay Packers in a run than Jordan Love. What do you think?
I don't. I mean, you know what? Here's the deal. You're not going to be able to go as far as you want unless you're getting the type of play that you need from Jordan Love. And Jordan Love has had some real high moments, but it's inconsistent. When he's not playing well, when he's turning over, they're not winning. They're not winning. And they won last year without Micah. They're a better team with Micah. Of course, every team would be a better team with Micah. But I still go back to the quarterback. And I still think that that's more important than a great edge rusher like Micah Parsons is. That maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of how I feel.
Whether it's HVAC, sheet metal, or welding, Smart 18 members are trained to be the best in the business with top-tier wages, unbeatable benefits, and lifelong career support. It's not just a job, it's a career. Learn more, smart18.org, and start building your future today. We are less than 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, Adam. If the Packers were to make a call to anybody, what position do you think they would be looking for to try to improve the team?
Maybe defensive backs. Defensive back would be logical. I think a lot of people are looking for defensive backs. Could see that being the case. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking defensive back, or maybe because Devontae Wyatt is hurt right now, and obviously their defensive tackle depth was hit in the acquiring of Micah Parsons. So I think that either cornerback specifically in the defensive backfield and probably defensive tackle, I think would be kind of the two areas that they would look to improve, because the run defense hasn't been as good with Devontae Wyatt out because they're just not deep at that position.
Do we have any idea when he's back?
Week to week is what they've been saying. I'm hoping he's back within. Doesn't seem like he's going to be back this week. I'm hoping maybe next week against Carolina. I mean, obviously they didn't think it was that serious, otherwise they'd have put him on IR with a designation return. And this is, if he doesn't play this week, it's the third straight week he's missed.
Well, if they didn't put him on IR, they expect him back then here in the next couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Practical. And sometimes they go a little bit longer. Maybe it's 5 weeks. I don't know, but they could use him back. That'll help you run defense. And, you know, every team's got needs going into this deadline. I've been surprised, frankly, that last week there were no real trades, and this week nothing so far. Like, I was expecting more the last 2 weeks, which means we'll probably get quite a bunch of activity here in the next couple of weeks leading up to the deadline.
Is that because it's just been so wild over the first 6-7 weeks of the NFL season that teams are still thinking that they're, hey, maybe we could, if we win a game or two, we can make a run at this. We don't have to sell off pieces.
Well, like look at Cincinnati. You heard Trey Hendrickson's name last week, and all of a sudden they win a game on Thursday night. And you're like, well, you know what? Maybe we want Trey Hendrickson around here to try to make some kind of push. So I think teams, yes, that there's a certain element of truth to that. Teams are trying to figure out whether or not they make a push. But beyond that, you know, you still need two people. Like, I've had people ask me, oh, you know, are the Dolphins or the Raiders or the Jets going to have a fire sale? Let me be very clear. No team is ever going to have a fire sale. Every team, if they get value for their players, would be willing to listen, including those teams that aren't winning. But if they're not just in the market to give away players to go help another team without getting commensurate value in return.
Adam, what's your take on the Chicago Bears? They do have two pretty good wins in Dallas and Washington. Should the Packers be looking in the rearview mirror when it comes to the division?
Well, listen, I think it was always going to take some time for Caleb Williams to get acclimated to working with Ben Johnson. I always felt like they were going to get better and better as the year went on. The teams they've beaten the last few weeks haven't been a murderer's row, but they're still wins, and they're still getting better all the time. Would I be concerned about I'd be aware of them for sure. They're starting to get things on track. They have some holes they have to address and fill still, but they're playing better football. They're winning. I don't care who they're playing. So, yeah, that whole division right now seems to be a little bit dangerous, which you knew it would be going into the season anyway.
Talking with Adam Schefter, as we do every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, what was your thought on the way the Vikings decided to try to defend the tush push this week by putting a defensive lineman parallel with the line of scrimmage to try to I don't know what the purpose of it was, but I just enjoyed the creativity of, hey, let's try this, see if this helps with the tush push.
That whole thing, nothing else has really worked. So if you want to just body down in the middle of the line of scrimmage and, you know, crack his ribs and whatnot, then fine, go do it. Like, nobody stopped to play. That's what they tried to do. It was an amusing sight to see, but nobody's got a solution for it still. Nobody.
Adam, are the Ravens still alive at 1-5?
I think they are. I think I'm not ready to write them off. In fact, I picked up their fantasy defense this morning in one of my leagues because I'm ready for a second half push. If you take a look at their schedule here, like just look. I mean, they're three games behind the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, right? Three games. Okay. So let me give you their schedule here in the coming weeks. Chicago at home, at Minnesota, or at Miami, at Miami, at Minnesota, at Cleveland, home for the Jets, home for Cincinnati, home for Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati, New England, at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh. Like, look, their margin of error is greatly reduced, and they're three games behind. They're not in an enviable position. But to say they're out of it or dead, no, not with that schedule. And now, I think they're going to make a run at the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're going to be heard from again. I think they'll make it interesting. And I still think they have a shot to win the division.
Is Lamar expected back soon then? Because I look at that, yes, it's an easier schedule, but they have struggled mightily when Lamar hasn't been healthy and available to them. So are you expecting Lamar to come back soon?
Well, that's the whole issue. Because I honestly would have thought that he would have been back at practice on Monday, and he wasn't. And I'm like, whoa, okay. Well, that's interesting. Today, if he doesn't practice today, I would think he's not going to be out there this weekend. Again, which would be, I would think, disappointing for that team coming off a bye. You'd think that its quarterback, you know, would have a reasonable chance of coming back this week. And that would be another week, and that would not be good. Again, if he's not out there today, that's a problem for them this week against the Bears. Advantage Chicago, and we'll see if Lamar's out there this afternoon in practice.
And is New England for real?
Definitely. I mean, not even a question. I'm just telling you the truth here. Like, I did an event with Robert Kraft in the offseason at Fanatics. I said to him before, I said, RKK, he likes to be called RKK. RKK, I actually think that you can win this division. And he said, wow. So do I. And I said, you know what? Let's text Vrabel right now. It was mid-June. Let's text Vrabel and tell him that we both think that he can win the division. So I texted Mike, and he texted me back, thanks for ruining my summer vacation and put the pressure on.
Chewy, I bet Vrabel mows his own lawn, right?
Oh, he guarantee cuts his own grass. He does. Guarantee. Yeah.
That's what Chewy wants to know. He wants to know what percentage of people in the NFL are mowing their own lawn. But one of those teams that's a surprise team at this point in the season, the Indianapolis Colts, is that just another example of wherever a quarterback gets drafted, like the everything else that goes into it, whether it's the coach, teammates, that also just plays such a big impact on how a quarterback develops? Because I like Brian Daboll as a coach, and it seems like he's doing some pretty good things with Jackson Dart right now, but they couldn't put it together with Daniel Jones, and now he's looking really good in Indy.
Well, I would say this. Number one, the Colts haven't made a ton of moves in the offseason. They drafted Tyler Warren, and they signed Daniel Jones, and they've become right now the team with the best record in football. So that right there, again, speaks to my Micah Jordan Love question of how important the quarterback is and his value. And Daniel Jones is a guy, let's also remember this, that, you know, a couple of years ago, the New York Giants chose Daniel Jones over Saquon Barkley and paid him $40 million a year. So they identified him as a guy capable of doing just this type of work. And now he's getting it done in Indianapolis. And I'll tell you another thing. Again, I remember being in the offseason this year. Minnesota wanted him back. Indy wanted him. But there were a couple of other teams who I was talking with. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do here if the quarterback doesn't work out? And they're like, Daniel Jones. I'm like, wow. Like, I heard it from a couple people I respect. And I was like, wow. There is a much higher opinion, more regard of Daniel Jones amongst teams than there is fans. And I think he's validated that this season with the way that he's played in Indianapolis.
When do you think the Vikings are going to go back to J.J. McCarthy?
Well, they think that he has a chance to be, the way it was told to me, he has a chance to be ready next week at Detroit. Chance. They're practicing him limited this week. And let's be honest. I think that if they go out and win on Thursday night against the Chargers, and Carson Wentz plays well, that might give them another week to rest J.J. McCarthy. And if he doesn't, they might want to bring back J.J. That's another, although that's That's a tough matchup at Detroit. I mean, Troy Aikman said it really well at the end of that game on Monday night. They're missing their whole secondary, their whole starting. There aren't many teams in the league that can be missing starting secondaries and come out, hold the Buccaneers to a season-low 9 points and shut them down. Shut them down. You know, whether that was from the pressure of Aiden Hutchinson and Aleem McNeil up front. But those guys who had never been put in that spot in the secondary, they stepped up and they put a big-time game.
Adam, certainly appreciate the time, my friend. Look forward to talking to you again next week as we continue to get closer and closer to that trade deadline.
Guys, have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Adam Schefter joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and it's brought to you by Allen Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today. It's a big day today in Milwaukee. Chris Middleton making his return after being traded a year ago. Chris sat down and had a conversation with Giannis Antetokounmpo and his brother, Thanasis, on the Thanalysis podcast. We hear some of that conversation coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think is a pretty good deal, right. Which gets me in trouble.
You got a Viagra ring?
On 94.5 ESPN.
One of the most unique spaces in the city for a holiday party, it's X-Golf at American Family Field. Whether you're looking for a holiday party or just a corporate get-together, X-Golf at American Family Field, of course, features the 7 state-of-the-art simulators that X-Golf is known for. But because it's located inside the stadium at American Family Field, it has that unique look of over-left fields. You get a beautiful view of the stadium. And it's such a big space. Yes, the 7 simulators are in there, but you have a lot of space for a lot more other activities as well. Whether you're looking for a great bar atmosphere, whether you're looking for a menu that they could put together for you as well for those corporate parties, just find out more. It's X-Golf, American Family Field, and X-Golf, AmFamField.com. NBA tipped off last night. Bucks getting underway of their 25-26 campaign this evening. And it is a special night. Chris Middleton, longtime Milwaukee Buck, who I firmly believe will have his number 22 hanging in the rafters when it's all said and done. He returns to Milwaukee for the first time since being traded at the trade deadline last season. And our buddy, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, in his podcast, Thanalysis, he brought in Giannis, brought in Chris, and they had a conversation ahead of tonight's game. Here is a clip if you want to hear the whole thing. Thanalysis podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, or check out the video as well, youtube.com/@Thanalysis Show. But Giannis and Chris had the opportunity to catch up and talk about what they experienced, what they felt on the trade deadline a year ago when Chris got traded.
Now I'm going to ask a difficult question. Then this is, you know, as you guys can answer this, how you want to ask. You know, you get traded, right? Did you guys talk? Like, what it was the...
It was, for me, it was very weird. It was very weird because even the day that it happened, you know, I'm not on social media. He knows too. Like, I don't follow what's going on. I don't have shams in my notification like other players. And, you know, like, it was the team bus. We had the game in Charlotte, I think, or I don't remember where.
Yeah, Charlotte.
And then I'm in the team bus, and Chris always sits behind me. Right, this last couple of years, he was always behind me on the right side. So I'm like, hey, hold on, Chris.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, they told me like, hey, man, you got traded. I said, for real? I said, yeah. I said, damn. And then the whole week was just weird because like I've never played the NBA game ever in my career without him. So it was kind of weird. But then you know how the NBA...
The business. You got,
it's either you got to like learn how to swim or you're going to drown. So you got to figure out a way to keep on helping your team, keep on being great, you know, and keep on staying within your routine so you can keep on doing what you're doing, right? So after that, though, we had the conversation, and that was it.
What about you, Chris?
Yeah, same. I mean... As far as, you know, what was going through my mind when it happened, of course, a lot of emotions, man. Pissed, angry, happy, sad, all the above. One thing I was happy about, I got to drive home after I got traded. went to one of those rental car companies, hopped in the car and drove 3 hours back home. Spent a day or two there and then went to D.C. once everything got finalized. But on that drive, it was just a lot of, you know, reminiscing, just, you know, from day one since I got there all the way up until, you know, losing it against Indy in the playoffs. But it was a ride I think I needed, some time by myself where you can sit back and reflect on things and, you know, kind of get things out the way. Then talking to Giannis, like, it was weird, like, not, you know, knowing that this is going to be my teammate, my sidekick, you know, for the rest of my career or just to the end of the season, whatever it was. So that was definitely a weird feeling, a weird thought process that I was going through. I'm trying to figure out a new normal for me because I've been in Milwaukee pretty much my whole NBA career. So that's pretty much, you know, all I knew, the life of, you know, basketball in Milwaukee. So getting myself, you know, to try to figure out a new city, especially like D.C., you know, a big difference than Milwaukee, different pace, different lifestyle. But it was something I was excited about. Get to, you know, still playing in NBA. I get to see, you know, a different side of it now, which I'm happy I am.
I'll say one other thing. I was like, it was a road trip. So after the road trip was over, I was like on Twitter, you know, and they were like,
why?
Like, yeah,
that's a great question.
That shit. Yeah,
why?
Yeah, I was on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I was like seeing like me and Chris and then Chris and his stats and Chris and me and Chris, me, Chris and Drew, you know, I'm just like, dang, fuck. You know, like I started getting emotions. So that's why you saw me, like, I don't know if you guys remember last year that I reposted like a bunch of tweets of Chris and all that. It's because I was on the plane, because I was thinking about the same thing. I was like, just reminiscing all the years that you know, went by and all the moments that we've had. And people like see it from the outside. Like when you're in the inside and you're in those high pressure moments, when you're like grinding through training camp, through preseason, down moments on the plane, playing cards, you know, going out to dinners together and all that, people don't see that, you know? So I spent more time with Chris in those 12 years than with you.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
People became teammates again and we all spent the time together.
Yeah, right? Like I literally spent more time with him than my own brothers. So it was definitely still is a weird feeling.
That's the part I don't think fans realize, especially if you're not a fan of the team itself and you know watch those games and those moments, because fans think everything is fantasy basketball, right? You trade this guy, it's 2K. You trade this guy, you trade this guy, we need this, blah, 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 whatever. They don't see the card games. Who's a better card player, though?
No, the both play, kind of play the same.
Can't talk about that.
Tony, I'm not going to lie to you, we don't have to talk about this now, but all of us have the same...
Conservative.
We're conservative. Okay. All three of us. It's hard to play. Like if somebody was the fourth playing against us, he would hate all of us. Because we play a certain way, all of us. All three in this thing. But I remember when I heard the news, it was actually like 2 o'clock in the morning. I just woke up, went downstairs. I literally went downstairs, bro.
You were in Greece.
Yes, I was in Greece. And I FaceTimed you and I called you. I was like, man, I will never, never take for granted any advice you gave me, anything we sit down, any dinner we had, any, you know, on the road, the wins we had, like, you know, just us being together, because this is what the NBA is. You know, it's something so special, right? That sometimes just because it's human, it's a human thing, it's a human trait to take stuff for granted and just, you know, push on the next day. But like, I would never take this for granted. The same way last year I lost, you know, a whole year, like, being out and watching from across. Like, even though I was happy to be in the building and feel the atmosphere, I was devastated. I mean, I was like, why am I here? But why am I watching this guy? Why am I not, you know what I'm saying? My dogs, why am I? So, but like I said, bro, you know, like, really, really being a brother and really, and not being a brother as in, like, the talks and everything, and showing up and with actions, you know, I'll never take this for granted. And I know... Obviously, you're wearing a different uniform, you know, and he's wearing a different uniform and et cetera, but it really doesn't matter because we've built something so great.
Hear the entire conversation, the analysis, Vanessa Stenacumbo, along with Giannis, Chris Middleton. Chris returns to Milwaukee tonight. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can also check out the video version, youtube.com/@analysis show. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, back in 2 minutes.